Dear faithful, I wish you a blessed feast of the Immaculate Conception. At the end of Mass, we will proceed to the procession inside the church. Feel free to join the procession just behind the priest, making sure to all try to stay together so the procession does not block itself at some point due to the space we have available. At the end of the procession, we will stop at the foot of our Blessed Mother to recite the act of consecration to Mary, consecration of the Institute and all the faithful friends of the Institute. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. According to St. Francis de Sales, the quality of an act depends on the motive of love that inspires it. An act is noble or vile, not depending on how brilliant or modest that act is, but depending on whether the action is informed by a lively and intense love or not. Therefore, an act that doesn't shine can still be worth a great achievement. It is not the material importance of an act that gives it its great value, but the intention with which it is accomplished. And so a simple, ordinary act will be ennobled by that motive of love. The little flame of love present in every act will give it its greatness before God. As a simple example, imagine standing in the middle of a field, in the middle of the night, holding a candle. Yes, certainly a very small flame, but I can assure you that this flame can be seen from at least a mile away, even for an unaided eye. A simple comparison, but useful to understand the value of the simplest act done out of love. Of course, anytime we talk about love here, it's in reference to the love of God, supernatural love, also known as charity, in view of our eternal beatitude. And so it is not a matter of looking into the lives of the saints to find what were the heroic actions they illustrated themselves with. How far did they push their fasts? How little did they sleep? How often did they discipline themselves with harsh penances and mortifications? Certainly all praiseworthy and edifying things. But for each of us, all called, yes, all called to the same holiness, it is a matter of asking ourselves, what does God want of me right now in the present circumstance? And here Mary teaches us that simplicity is key in conforming our will to the will of God. Think about it. She did not have to retire into the desert. She didn't have to leave the great Saint Joseph. She didn't have to live secluded from the world. Otherwise, I'm sure the apostles would have mentioned the special and out of ordinary kind of life that Mary lived. They didn't. None of that. But she gave her fiat and remained faithful to that vocation received. Continued to give her fiat in all circumstances of life with that flame of love that transformed all her actions into that sweet incense described by David when he wrote, "Let my prayer be directed as incense in thy sight," which is also recited by the priest when incensing the altar. Ama et fac quod vis. Love and do what you want, repeated Saint Augustine. If our love is anchored in God, then all things shall be also directed towards Him, with very little effort on our end. since we naturally tend towards what we love. And everything seems easier when motivated by love. Love becomes a powerful motive of action, which renders all things easy and pleasant, even when surrounded by the shadow of the cross. We can be tempted sometimes to prioritize quantity over quality. We can be tempted to multiply acts of devotion, attaching excessive importance to the material aspect of the act. And it has been the case already in church history, particularly in the Middle Ages. Although all were convinced, of course, of the importance and primacy of the intensity of love, which should animate every pious practice or exercise, but there was still present the temptation to lean towards an excessive attention to a certain literalism in spiritual life, even among the best, like Saint Bernard, or among many Franciscans of the time, who seem to have identified the practice of the evangelical counsels of chastity, poverty, and obedience, so practically identifying the monastic vocation with the way of salvation, to the detriment of all other type of vocations. So to put it simply, in order to be holy, many thought that the only way possible was through that monastic vocation, either as a monk or as a nun. And we do see similar temptations in a way today, where good, edifying souls feel discouraged at the thought that they wouldn't be able to sanctify themselves in the vocation they find themselves in, as husband, wife, mother, father, single, as working in the world, as parent in the world, etc. Great danger, my friends. Great danger. This can easily become an easy tool for the evil one to distract you from the task at hand, from the vocation you have received and in which you shall become saints. Saint Francis de Sales saw that danger and warned us already. Reason why his entire spirituality is fundamentally universal and individual at the same time, all for the perfecting of men, no matter what his state in life may be. Deeply rooted in that love of God as the first motive and element of progress. And he wrote, "The divine bridegroom makes us to know that he accepts not only the great works of devout people, but every poor and lowly offering too, and that they who would serve him acceptably must give heed not only to lofty and great important matters, but to things mean and little, since by both alike we may win his heart and love." Of course, we do not deny the value of great works, which, if done with much love, are more meritorious than smaller ones. However, it is not a matter of doing big or doing much as possible, but the ultimate criterion will be to do it well. And here again, Mary is the best example. No miracles, no great heroic actions, but the daily offering of her earthly existence and the fulfillment of her vocation with the purest and most intense love. A few decades before St. Francis de Sales wrote his treatise on the love of God, already Saint Teresa of Avila had shared her thoughts. She says, "Perhaps we do not know what love is, nor does this greatly surprise me. Love does not consist in great sweetness of devotion, but in a fervent determination to strive to please God in all things, in avoiding, as far as possible, all that would offend him, and in praying for the increase of the glory and honor of his Son, and for the growth of the Catholic Church. These are the signs of love, she concludes. Do not imagine that it consists in never thinking of anything but God, and that if your thoughts wander a little, all is lost. No. How encouraging is that? St. Teresa of Avila. Far from us the danger of thinking then holiness would consist in the repetition and multiplication of devotions, on the number of sacramentals I can receive, the number of blessings I can have at home on myself or items around me, on the number of rosaries I'll pray during the day, etc., etc., etc. All certainly very important means, not ends in themselves. As if one was to become a zealous collector of all small pious practices and would end up getting lost. Lost in the multiplication of spiritual exercises and begin seriously neglecting the task at hand to deepen his spiritual life and to strengthen his love for God. If all these practices do not make me more humble, more patient, more attentive to my duties, more generous in the fulfillment of my duties, the fulfillment of my vocation as mother, wife, father, husband, friend, etc., then I completely deceive myself. I deceive myself and I deceive God. Not multa, sed multum, says the Latin saying. Not multa, sed multum. Not many, but much. Think often, continues St. Francis, that everything we do has its true value according to its conformity with God's will. So that in eating and drinking, if I do it because it is God's will that I shall do it, I am more pleasing to God than if I suffered even death without that same intention to conform my will to His will. And again, Mary truly incarnates this reality. Following her example, let's gather our whole life to the unity of one principle which should penetrate all things, inspire all things, and conclude all things. The principle is our love for God, a charity that directs all things to its source, to its ultimate end, to God Himself. And again, St. Francis de Sales gives us a summary of his spirituality. We ought rather to apply ourselves to redouble not indeed our desires or many practices and exercises, but to redouble the perfection with which we make them, trying by this means to gain more by one single act, as undoubtedly we shall, than we should by 100 others made according to our own fancy and inclination. Mary paved the way for us. Her life became like one single act of love, always alive, always vibrant, always young, always burning. A single fiat, let it be done to me according to His word, not my own ways, my own inclinations and fancies. One single fiat, given with infinite love to the angel, was enough to win God's heart. And from now on, all generations shall call her blessed. A fiat that she would repeat again and again, that she would repeat in all the circumstances of her life on earth, in the joyful mysteries of her life, as in the glorious and sorrowful mysteries. Cause of our joy, pray for us. Mother most amiable, pray for us. Queen of peace, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.